thank you for inviting me and my dear husband here to Scholten. I haven't been here so many times, but it's a lovely, lovely place. We live a little bit further out the fjord, on a little peninsula with about 45 people. I am born on that peninsula, and I will just talk about a little bit about how the Lord is leading and guiding you. And now I'm 72 years old, and I feel that I wasn't long since I was your age. Don't laugh.
So hard not to.
That's a million. And I have to say, time is going so fast that you can't imagine how fast it is going. But I will just tell you about a little bit how the Lord is leading and guiding you through life. And even if I should live 30 years more, so I would be 102, and I don't know I will make it like that. I think the Lord is coming back before, but don't worry about that, because we don't know really. But that is how I'm thinking every day. About heaven, because this time on earth is very short compared to eternity. I grew up on a little peninsula, and on those days we had no roads, so everything we did we had to go by boat. And I've just been thinking that was our upbringing, and we went to a little schoolhouse. There were 10 children, and we started when we were 7 years old, and we were 14, and we were just 10 children, the same classroom from 7 to 14, the same teacher, but we learned quite a lot in that classroom, I have to say. So when you were 14, you had to move into Songdal and start secondary school. You didn't come home before Saturday. You looked after yourself and everything. I just think about, I would be scared to send my sons there, so young. But that was life. That was life. It was like this. I am one out of seven. I'm number two. Brother older, then it is me, and a sister, and then it is three brothers, and a sister again. Brother number, the second brother, he died 4 years ago. So now we are six left. And funny enough, all of us who were brought up on that peninsula was siblings. They are all married to foreigners. Everyone except one brother is married to a Norwegian lady. And I'm married to Robert James Sims from England, and she'll tell you how we met each other. It's a lovely story. And we are still hanging out together after 43 years. It is to fall in love with one another every day. You know, I'm brought up among the fjords and mountains, and you wake up to that every day, and you say, oh, how beautiful it is. I often think it is beautiful. But when you wake up to something all the time, you get so used to it that you can nearly be blind. And you say, oh yes, it is nice, but, oh, when I see English people coming to us, and they say, oh, how could you leave this place? Because I lived in London for 30 years. How could you leave this place, they say. And you know what my answer is? If I hadn't left this place, you wouldn't be standing here. You know? So, when I grew up on the peninsula, I loved school, I loved my subjects, I loved geography, and we had in geography about England and a lovely picture about London and River Thames and plenty of houses on both sides of River Thames. And I thought as 10-year-old, oh, how lovely it would be to live in a place like this, London. Never did I know that I was going to live in London. So I grew up in a home where mum was a Christian, born again, but not my father. And living on an isolated place, we had no Sunday school, we had no church except a Lutheran church where you went, was only service every third week. It wasn't any, because the priest had three churches. I have to say about the Norwegian state church, you get baptized there, That was like when I grew up, about 96-97% of the children, the babies who were born, were baptized Christian in the state church. So you become a member of the church. You become a member of it. And automatically, without you want it or not. And then you get confirmed when you're 15 years old. And then you get married, and then you use the church in those days also. And then you get buried. Four things in the church. But it isn't reaching out so much as the English churches. You have low Anglican, you have high Anglican. But I would say the state churches in Norway, yeah, God help us. Because, yeah, I won't say too much about it because I've only 20 minutes.
Some went to Ernest yesterday.
Sorry?
Some of us went to Ernest.
Ernest, state church, yeah. That is a state church. We have 28 state churches in Norway, but there were 1,000 of them, about 1,100. Then we have 1,000 state churches. Now it's only 28. The state church at Urnes, there are many foreigners coming, all that. I talk about the gospel now. Yeah. So, I grew up, yeah, I trained as a teacher, and I didn't know in those days, you either become a woman, become a teacher, or a nurse, or a secretary. So I thought, oh, shall I be a teacher, shall I be a nurse? But I came into nursing also in Bergen and in Oslo, but I thought, now I think I will be better as a teacher. So I trained as a teacher. My husband says, yes, you did the right, you wouldn't be good as a nurse. But I think he's wrong there. I've nursed him all my life. yeah. So there you are. So I grew up, but I have to say, when I was the first year in a teacher college, I was not born again, but I had a very much respect for God, because when I look up to the mountains and everything, I just thought, who has made all this? Who has made it? And when I was young, like you boys over there, I thought that if I could go up on the mountaintop, I could walk into heaven. And I was so disappointed when I discovered that when I came to the top, I couldn't go in there. But I just, yeah. So, first year in the teacher college, so I had three in my class who were Christian, and I looked at them, and one, she came and said, come along, Magnus, to Christian Union. And I had so many excuses, not to die, I can't make it today, and all that. And another time, and she invited me. So at Easter 72, I went home with her. The first time I've been in a plane. She lived a place outside Molde. It's further north. And so I was there on that camp. And it was just so marvelous, marvelous. And in Norway at Easter, everyone having time so much to churches. Then they're up in the mountain skiing. And this lady who was speaking that Easter there in that camp, and that she just said, people are going in the mountains and skiing all Easter, and they come back brown. But when you have Jesus, then you are really, you have everything what you need. Oh, she was really, and I thought, oh, how am I going to get that Jesus into my heart? And how am I going? So my friend Evie, she was explaining and everything. And one night, 3rd of April, 11 o'clock in 1972, I became born again. Born again. I was more up in the air than I was down on earth. And I've never seen spring like that in my life. It was like the tree was clapping their hands to me. It was like the leaves were, and I've never seen people like that in my life. They were so alive. Oh, I was so when I came back to the teacher college, I said to the people, why are you inside four walls with this daily talk? We must be out sharing the gospel. I had a microphone and was telling everyone how I became born again. I think about it now. I was crazy. I really was. When I think about it, I had, yeah. So this is, and now I am so much on fire for the Lord that no one could stop me at all. So I just say, Lord, Lord, what do you want me to be? What do you want? I'm going to train as a teacher, but now I can't be teaching. I want to really share the gospel. And it was like burning in my heart to share, because I saw, how can you keep this for yourself if you are experiencing Jesus Christ, and He's the way, the truth, and the life, and that heaven is our home. We have something so much to look forward to that we can't, I can't wait to, I won't go today, but, yeah, you know what I mean, I have to finish my talk. So I study, this is 72, and in 29th of May 73, I was sitting reading for a test in biology, and I really felt the Lord saying to me, you are going to leave this land, and you are going to be a missionary for me. And it was so clear, that I just thought, why am I sweating over biology when I'm going to go out as a missionary? I don't need to have 1 year left in teaching course. I'm leaving now, I thought. You see, but thank God that someone calmed me down. So I phoned my mom, and I said to my mom, please come into the town. I have something to share with you. And in those days, remember, I grew up on a peninsula without any road. Remember I said to you, we had a boat, rowing a boat, and it took a long time to come into Songdal. And my mom says, I will come to the next day because she had a bit to do on the farm. And so she came into the town, and I was explaining for my mom what had happened, because she was, what was my mom? Yes, she was born again. And she, oh, I loved my mom. She was smaller than me, believe me or not. And at the end, she was nearly 90 years old. So if she had lived 6 weeks more, she would have been 90. But she reached up to here because she had osteoporosis when she was there. So maybe I will be one of them, I don't know. And so I told my mom what had happened and what the Lord had told me. She started crying. Oh, I said, Mom, don't cry. Everyone else is here in the town. She said, I'm not crying of sorrow, but I'm crying of joy, because you know what my mom told me? She had been praying since the day I was born that I would give my life as a missionary. She had been praying, not for my brother who was oldest, because he should have the farm, but since I was born. You see how important prayer is. I can't dwell with that too long about prayer. But I could have seminars about prayer. Prayer is the most important you can do in life. You just ask, how has kept us happy together? And how have we kept so long? We haven't been married so long, is it? 43, 44. But yeah, long enough, you think. But we say to you, secret is prayer, and sharing together. So I just, and my mom was so, she had her prayer had been answered. So I'm finishing the teacher college, I go out and teach, I study a little bit more, I travel in Norway preaching for an organization who sent me over to England as a missionary candidate. And now, how long have I been speaking for? Because now it is the story how we two met each other, if you want to hear how the Lord is leading and guiding. Psalm 32 verse 8, I will teach you, and I will counsel you, and I will watch over you with my eye upon you. If you don't remember anything else, can you remember Psalm 32, 8? You young people, you wonder, who am I going to marry? And you look at young girls, and young girls look at boys and think, will I meet them on a camp, or will I meet them? You can meet them anywhere. But just pray. I did not want to. I had been together with non-Christian men. When I become a Christian, I just fall in love with non-Christian men. But I've been taught that you shouldn't have anything to do with them. You should just look at them with a distance. Don't come too near them. But I had, it was like the devil tried to just get me away again. So I just said to the Lord, Lord, if I'm going to get married, you have to choose the man for me. You have to choose the husband for me. But I must fall in love with him. So I didn't think so much about that prayer, but I was praying. But I was so missionary minded that I didn't think too early to get married. I was so missionary minded. So after I was traveling in Norway, the mission I was with, they sent you over to England, either to learn English or to go to a missionary college in there. So I am going to a missionary college called All Nation Christian College. Have anyone heard about that college? Yeah. That's north of London. And that year we were about 150 students from 30 different countries. See now, maybe it was just a good thing that I left my piece of paper home. Can't find it anywhere. Before I went, I had a very strange dream. And I will say to you, I always write down every day, like a diary. And every day. Now when I've been here, I will be writing on, what date is it today?
The 3rd of August.
3rd of August, I have a page dream. This page will be too small tonight, after all what I've experienced today, plus Elvine. But that is what I'm doing. But when I have a vision, I always write it down, like a dream vision, to see if it is going to happen. But just write it down. Especially when you come my age, you have to write, otherwise you forget. So, I am driving in a Volkswagen, but I'm not the driver. The driver is dressed in white, and I'm sitting next to the driver. And each time when I cry, and I cry 3 times on that journey, and the driver is stopping and says, "Don't look to the left, don't look to the right, but look straight ahead." And I did, and 3 times the driver stopped dressed in white. I have written it down here in Norwegian, so it is not. So I'm coming to a place, what I described as a castle. And I have written, and in that castle is a blonde man coming out. And I'm walking hand in hand with that man. And I've written at the end, this has not taken place in Norway. What country are you sending me to? So, I've forgotten all about it, and it was on the 14th of February 1979, this dream is. So, I've forgotten all about it. Traveling in Norway, and in September, I'm going to All Nation. I'm going to All Nation. And coming there on the 22nd of September, in the evening, 11 o'clock. And I described how I come into that castle, exactly how I came in. And then I see at that building there, All Nations. I thought, have I been here before? But I didn't. Carry on the meeting, students. There, in the next evening, we're sitting for supper, we are about 5 students around the table, and I'm meeting a blonde man, curly hair, glasses, smiling, and he asked, "What is your name?" We all had to have our label on. I said, "Magni Haug," and he said, "Haug," and I said, "Haug," and I said, "That means hill in English." I said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Bob." Oh, I thought, such a funny name, Bob. And is it a dog, I thought. And he didn't have a label on. So I said, "Why don't you have a label on?" He said, "Because everyone knows me here." I thought, for a man, I thought. But he had forgotten to put it on, and he was a second year student. But I look at Robert, and I just said to him, "Have you been to Norway?" No, he said, he hadn't been to Norway. And I kept on looking. I've seen you before, but I've forgotten the vision. And I was looking at it, I thought I've seen you before. But as we are talking to one another that night, the Lord is speaking to Robert with an audible voice. "The woman you're sitting talking with tonight is going to be your future wife." And the voice was so strong that he thought I heard it. And he told me later, and I thought, if I heard that voice, I would have gone back to Norway with the next plane. I was so missionary minded that nothing would stop me. So this voice came back the second and third. And my husband, he had very curly hair, so curly, and he was so annoyed with his curls. And he had moustache, and I always thought people with moustache, they look so stupid. But yeah, I always said that. It's no one with moustache yet. Oh no, you have all the whole story. But I'd never seen such a nice moustache in my life. So, in those days, women, remember now, we talk about 50, 55 years back. Are anyone 55 yet? No one. Except you, yeah. So he said, I taken a perm, a structure we call it, like a perm. My hair was so curly and everything. And Robert said to me, I call him Robert, and when we start going out, I wouldn't call him Bob O'Dean. So he said to me, you have the same problem as me with all your curls, he said. I thought, no, I'm not saying that what I have. I thought, you just wait and see when my hair gets out again. And so we kept on like this, but it was a couple from Norway who were students there who went to Japan as missionary. They had seen that we spent much time together. So at half the break we had to get out of all nations, and I went with them because they lived in Ware, this couple. And she said, you have to be careful with Bob because he's a Baptist and you are Lutheran. And I thought, yes, you know Lutheran. I have so much problem with the baptism and all the rest of it. I can't get into that because I could be here tomorrow morning. So they said, we are so worried about you, Magne. I said, that is nice that you are concerned about me and everything. Yeah, be careful with Bob, they said. Yes, I said, I tried my best, I said, but it's not easy when you are a donation and students and all that, you bump into one another and too many bumps into one another. So she said, be careful. So then the half-term break was over, we had to go back again to all nations. God said to me, look at your book. I have forgotten all about my vision in Norway. When was the vision in Norway? 14th of February, 79, and that was Robert's birthday. I didn't know that he was a Valentine's boy. Now I've taken the wrong book. It's not in this one. I have so many books, I've taken the wrong one. But never mind. And in that is so special, that book. How could I take the wrong book? So I just read when I read it, I knew that he was the one. I just knew when I knew. And I told this missionary couple, they have been to us many, a few times, I think I live down in Stavanger. So they said, I said that if I don't marry that man, I sin against the Lord. So I will say to you, either you live single or you will get married or whatever. The Lord is leading and guiding you, and you can trust him every step of the way. When you look at me now, I'm 70 you next time. I'm going towards 80. I'm a grandmother to soon 7 grandchildren, 2 sons we have, so we've done quite well. And they have done well. So as a grandmother, I always pray for our grandchildren, because it is so important. It's a tough, tough time they're growing up in and all the rest of it. And I just think about here tonight, in Sheldon, and you're coming from New Zealand, you're coming from Australia, you're coming in from England, you're coming in from Kenya, yeah. Just a little place here to be here, and we just want to serve the Lord together. So either we are navigators, or we are whatever we are. So we just want to. What was the Bible verse you should remember if you don't?
Psalm 32:8.
Yeah. Well done. And that was, you can say the verse to me. But I shall read it out so you know that it's not my words, but it is the You know what, the best, I was in an old people's home today to speak for half an hour. I do it once a month to the old people. It's not easy to talk to some, to old people about, I didn't talk about leading and guiding there, but I talk about not to worry about, many people are anxious when they get, but here, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. So now, I just use you, Adam, since you have been, I will instruct Adam and teach Adam in the way Adam should go. So it is more personal when you put your names in. I will counsel you and watch over you. I will keep my, in the old one, I will keep my eye upon you. He loves us so much that he can't keep his eye away from us. So wherever you go, now you are in Norway, and people say, oh, Norway, oh, how beautiful, oh, how nice, and all the rest of it. Yeah, it is a nice country. I lived in the East End of London, and I loved it in the East End of London. I lived in Richmond, and they say, oh, Richmond, oh, people are so rich there, and so well off, they say. Then they were much needed, because I had the foster home, so I know what I'm talking about. You see, there is need wherever you go, and the doors are open, and it is, you are able to share, and you either you are rich, or you are poor, or whatever, they need Christ, we all need the Lord, and then it is to share and to share, but then we have to have a burning heart, and I always wake up in the morning, I just say, Lord, I widen my heart for you, and I welcome you into my heart today. And I just say, good morning, my dear master, I say to my husband, really. I say, think about their two to serve the Lord together. That is a richness also with it. But I was willing to be also alone and walk with the Lord. So the Lord is with us every step of the way. He will never leave us, he will never forsake us, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Was it 20 minutes or have I go over my time?